I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Knipple?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
He's here. He's walking in right now.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess I would ask everyone to, for a moment of silence. We had, well, in my opinion, probably one of the most diligent, most dedicated public employees the City of Franklin has ever known. Carmen Mandridge passed away yesterday, I believe it was. After putting up probably one of the best fights I've ever seen any human being put up. And, you know, you use this phrase all the time, class act. Carmen absolutely fit that definition, so I'd ask for a moment of silence. Thank you. I just would add that she will be sorely missed and is already missed by her colleagues and friends. I think the funeral arrangements are going to be coming out shortly or Monday.
We understand it's going to be at 5:30 Monday at the funeral home.
Carmen was one of the go-to people in the city, and I guess, and again, be very, very sorely missed. I also have a couple other announcements. You may have noticed that there's kind of a different change on the Plan Commission. We have a face that we all know and love, Mr. 50th, Alderman Doug Schmidt, commonly referred to as Dougie by most people, right, in the community. I appreciate the fact that you took the appointment and that you're here. And I think you're going to bring a lot to the Plan Commission. The other person we have is no stranger to Franklin either, and that's Mr. Fred Knipple, who's been around the community about 40 years or so, or something like that.
Most of my life between Hales Corners and Franklin.
Been a strong advocate for Franklin, many, many issues. Currently, Fred is the president of the Franklin Seniors, and I know that the seniors are very, very happy that you are. So
I feed them well.
And you too, Fred. Thank you very much for taking this appointment. I believe you and I had served on the Plan Commission when I was an alderman.
Yep.
Under the Common Council president. So thank you again. With that, you have before you the approval of minutes. You want to have two, for Saturday, June 1st, 2013. I don't know if the two new members want to abstain. If so, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. For discussion, the mayor will be voting on this particular issue. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? No noes? Any abstentions. Two abstentions? So we have four ayes, no noes, two abstentions. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the minutes of Thursday, June 6th. Any questions, comments? Not. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, any abstentions?
Abstain.
Four ayes, no noes, two abstentions. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item three, public hearings and business items. And Mr. Lewandowski, every time I look at this, looking for some sort of separation in public hearings and business items. So, again, I'll when we have our weekly meetings, maybe we can take this up. I do think it's not just Mr. Lewandowski. It's kind of confusing for when it goes out to the public. So. Okay, item A is Point Real Estate LLC, Avian Estate Single Family Subdivision Development. Mr. Deedle.
There is a public hearing on this one. I can give a brief introduction first. This item, there are two related items on this issue. The public hearing tonight is for the rezoning. Plan Commission will also be considering comprehensive master plan amendment for this item as well. The rezoning, again, is that the applicant is wishing to change the zoning from R8 to R3. R8 is multifamily residential, to R3, which is one of the more common single-family residential. Still, the light was on. I just have to be really close. So they are changing it from R8, multifamily residential, to an R3, single-family residential. This was this phase two of the Havian condominium plat. The second phase hadn't been built, and they wish to change it to a single-family subdivision plat now. And so to be able to do that, they want to change this zoning to R3. It's also shown as multifamily residential on the comprehensive master plan, so they wish to change that as well. So again, tonight is the public hearing for the rezoning. Common Council will take this matter up at their first meeting in July 9th, I believe. There will also be a public hearing on the comprehensive master plan amendment for changing a future land use at that July 9th meeting as well. There was a concept review in front of the Common Council, and based on those comments, they brought this forward. Not too much else to say otherwise. I guess the biggest thing to say is the subdivision plat will be following this up probably a month or so. There'll be probably more issues to talk about at that time. For instance, there's used to be a private road to connect the two phases of the condominium together. They're proposing that if this turns into a single-family subdivision plat, that they would have this as a cul-de-sac and not as a private road and not connecting all the way through. But those would be issues more appropriately discussed at the subdivision plat review stage. If you have any questions, otherwise, I would answer them.
Okay. Do we have any applicants or anyone wishing to come forward?
We do have consultants.
Okay. I think it would be good. We do have people in the audience. I might answer some of their questions. And we also have commissioners who may have some questions for you. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. My name is Joe Bukovich with Point Real Estates. It's 1082 West River Road, Watertown, Wisconsin. And I'm with Point Real Estates, and I'm here to present tonight's proposed 13-lot subdivision called Avian Estates. It's located just north of Pewes Road and a few hundred feet west of South Avian Way. And the reason we're bringing the single family up, as Mr. Deedle said, this was supposed to be the second phase to the Avian Tuckaway condominium development. But we realized that there's a need for single-family lots in the city of Franklin. Do a quick MLS search, and there's less than 24. So we see that there's a need for that. And we're proposing 13 lots on a public cul-de-sac. And the reason we decided on the cul-de-sac route were a number of reasons. The first reason, or when we first came to develop the plan, we followed... see that in there? That's just the... we had a through road that was coming from Avion meeting up with Greyhawk, and there were a number of issues. We had some preliminary meetings with the city and with the Avion Condominium Association, the board there. And the association's primary concern was connecting a public road to a private road and adding public traffic to the road that they have to privately maintain, increasing their maintenance costs. And also, if you connect a public road to the private road mid-block. It creates some confusion between who does maintenance, where's a snowplow stop, that kind of issues. And the cul-de-sac layout also helped balance some of the lot areas and the lots, giving you better lots from lots, I believe that's 6 through 10. That area worked out a little bit better for us. The sewer and the water and the storm sewer are already constructed on the site, and we're able to utilize those utilities. There have to be some minor modifications, removals, abandonments, that kind of thing. And there's a tree line located along the north side between Whispering Woods and our site. That'll be in the conservation easement. We'll protect those. There's also a wetland on the west side of the property adjacent to a wet detention pond, retention pond that's already built, and that'll stay in place. So we won't be disturbing those wetlands, which will also be included in a conservation easement. We're proposing 20,000 square foot lots, and we're also proposing covenants that are higher than the minimums required by the city. So we're looking at a nice end development, and we tried to make the covenants so they're consistent with what's already existing to the west. We're looking to go to an R3 zoning on this, and we feel that it fits the area. We've got residential to the north, residential slated to the south. There's duplex condominiums for residential use to the east, and one other item I wanted to bring up here was that Greyhawk Lane will become a permanent dead-end road. So we're proposing to construct an L turnaround, partly on our property, partly on the Avion property. And there was also an issue that was brought up with the association that they want some connectivity. People like to walk between the sites and up through Whispering Woods. So we're proposing a 5-foot sidewalk from our cul-de-sac bulb to Greyhawk Lane. So if there's any questions, I welcome any questions, and hopefully I can answer those or comments.
Right. I would ask that Mr. Fuchs read the public notice, and then I'd open it for public hearing. And then afterwards, I think the plan commissioners, if you have questions of either the applicant or the staff, that would be appropriate. So with that, Mr. Fuchs, would you please read the public notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, June 20th, 2013 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter. The matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding application by Point Real Estate LLC for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land from R8 Multiple Family Residence District to R3. Suburban Estate Single Family Residence District with a property located at approximately 7120 to 7400 West Hughes Road.
All right, I'm going to open up item 3A for public hearing. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak during the public hearing? If you do, there's a microphone up here. Please state your name and address for the record. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? Going once, going twice. Okay, we'll close the public hearing. What did you say then? Is there anybody here from should be or wants to be at the Architectural Review Board for the approval of their home? I recognize some faces from last time. But so, president of the association, if I recollect. All right, with that, I'm going to open it up for questions or comments from the plan commissioners. Or, yes, Mr. Ritter?
My only comment would be I see no reason not to do this. I see that there's a prospect that's going to be the most interesting in the city. You indicated conceptual layout shows a 10-foot easement for a sidewalk. You mentioned 5-foot. I agree with Mr. Beagle. This is something that we'd more likely get into putting the site plan as before. But since there's still opportunity for discussion, what I would strongly encourage discussion of is a path between the two developments that is capable of handling emergency vehicles. we're going to have single-family subdivision, a large multi-family subdivision, development, each of which has only one entrance. I think we should strongly consider a connection between the two that is capable of handling emergency vehicles. You know, no one would ever want to have a situation where we need to get emergency vehicles in there and an entrance to the block. But that is what you could have. So we have an opportunity here to at least provide that connection. There are probably other factors to consider. I'm not asking you to do it, but I would ask that it's seriously be considered and discussed. And we, unless there's some really compelling reason why we can't do that, I would strongly encourage that we make whatever provisions are necessary to have something that would normally handle pedestrian, traffic and bicycles, but and to be posted, you know, no vehicles except emergency vehicles, whatever might be.
Commissioners? Commissioner Schmidt, and then Commissioner Haley.
Given that the really not in favor of having a connecting street through there, since that will be a cul-de-sac, then is it would it be the association's concerns then as far as garbage pickup and snow removal, or is it that you'd have to have your own contractors for that? Is that, or is that
for our development?
Right.
Right. We'd be planning with the public road and the city services.
And Mr. Bennett was wanting to answer that.
Public road to get garbage and
so that still is a public street.
Okay, Mr. Haley?
I guess I'd just like to mirror what Commissioner Ritter was saying about the potential for connection for safety vehicles. I think it does make sense that in an emergency situation, maybe there's something that can be done with combinations of hard and soft pavements for something that will support an emergency vehicle or wouldn't appear or function as a full-blown road. And certainly there would need to be some accommodations to the landscape. Fairly preliminary, but they're showing sort of planting that area up and make sure that we have
Mr. Bennett?
Now, the Board of Public Works is looking to have an island in the cul-de-sac and a gang mailbox. Those are two things that we have Public Works has problems with. It was a hard place snow in the cul-de-sac between the hydrants driveways and mailboxes, so we like to see a gang mailbox for the end of the cul-de-sac and an island in the middle that would be part of the homeowner association.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Boos supported that to us a little while ago, so we'll incorporate that in the design.
Well, unless you've done a pretty good job, it usually doesn't go this easy in front of the planning commission. Don't get used to it. I would like to talk a little bit about what Mr. Ritter talked about, and that's the drive for safety vehicles. My recollection is we did something unique with the Indian Community School, the drive around the back, made it more aesthetical, more aesthetic. And I think the Lutheran Church on 51st Street was also has that same thing, so it doesn't scare the applicant too bad. It was sort of pavers and Jack has all the technical terms, but it's not a big financial pain, and it probably would be better received by the residents there too, because I think what they did for both of those is they have a chain over it, as someone said, only for emergency vehicles, and, so it's not just open to the general public.
Sure, we're more familiar with some of that. More to Mr. Bennett, and we've got our engineer here too. So I think that's a pretty good compromise between the cul-de-sac and running on full street through there from the emergency vehicle standpoint. I think it's very good.
Okay. Anything further? I do have a recommended motion, and that would be a motion to approve a resolution recommending the adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for property located approximately 7120 to 7400 West Putes Road from residential multifamily use to residential use pursuant to Wisconsin statutes, Chapter 66.1001, paren 4, paren B. there a motion to that effect?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Take up the second motion. That would be a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone a certain parcel of land from R8 multi-family residence district to R3 suburban slash estate single family residence district, subject to the approval of the related comprehensive master plan amendment. And moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much, and thank you for working with the staff and with working, obviously, with the members of the association.
You're welcome, and thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. All right, now, Southbrook. Yeah, Southbrook Church, Inc. And I have, before you begin, I have my papers, my documents, that city staff recommends approval of the site plan amendment subject to the conditions in the draft resolution. Is that correct?
Correct.
And, Mr. Fuchs, are you, is that Sherwood or is that? That's it. But it really sparked a lot of controversy, I'm not sure. Mr. Deal?
Yes, staff is recommending approval of this. A brief summary again is that Southbrook Church, their membership is expanding pretty quickly, and therefore they would like to have a larger parking lot. They are proposing to increase it by about 74% to 129 spaces. To do that, they'll also need another connection, a driveway connection, further to the north onto St. Martin Road. And because of the impervious surface, they're going to have to increase the size of their existing stormwater pond and add some more landscaping. We do have a number of conditions in our approval, or our recommendation for approval. We need to get Milwaukee County approval for the driveway connection to St. Martin's. They need final approval of the stormwater plan. They're going to need a conservation easement for the natural resources that are on there. Staff had a couple suggestions as well. They suggested that they could add a pedestrian walkway through the new parking lot to connect it to the building. So that was just a suggestion. And there's a number of ways to do that if they were interested or if the Plan Commission would wish them to do that. We wish them to increase the number of species or types of shade trees and shrubs. I think they only had one of each. Normally, we would have three of each type of tree. And this would also require the Plan Commission approval of an increase of the parking lot by more than 10%. They're actually asking, compared to the UDO requirements, they'd be asking for an increase of 120%. So although it is a lot, a large increase into the parking, we believe they probably need it. They have the room, and so staff is okay with that, but the Plan Commission does have to grant that approval as well. The only other thing I can mention is about the landscaping. What they decided to do was only look at the new parking and base the new landscaping on the new parking. And they also, which is allowed by the UDO, counted existing trees within their site to help offset some of the landscaping they would be doing for that new parking. Those kinds of approaches have been used before, so staff is still recommending.
Okay.
Any questions? Mr. Deedle, do they have enough handicapped accessible parking spots with this expansion?
At least so.
Building inspection will check that.
Okay.
I was going to call you Commissioner Fred, that's not right.
Just as I'm getting older, I realize that I might need some of those one of these days.
Commissioner. I spoke to the Alderman, Solomon Scransby's district, I believe.
No, Alderman Mayor. He's on the other side of the street.
Okay. Is he been contacted or is anybody here?
We were not sure. We told them to.
All right. And just use the same question for the last, just as for the last issue we had of, was the Alderman for the ABM also contact?
He would be able to answer both questions for you.
Okay. I can answer your question. It's my understanding that the senior pastor did contact the Alderman.
Okay.
To discuss this project. I wasn't part of that conversation.
Any other questions or comments? I guess nobody else is going to chime in here. I do know that this church is experiencing something that most churches wish they had, and that's an explosion in their number of constituents that are coming in. In fact, I hope they can fit everyone that's coming to the church. So I, too, as you know, I'm not a big fan of increased parking, but in this particular situation, I think it's probably wise. So with that, I do have a proposal from Mr. Ritter.
Oh, just to follow up on your comment, is this considered, is this being done in isolation, or is there even consideration to enlarging the facility itself at some point, and would this fit, I mean, are you thinking long-term, and who knows what it can be, but... And we'll probably have you back at some point in the future, but anytime you make a major step like this, we might have some idea of, well, and there is other plans you're available. So is all this at least conceptually?
Yeah, for the record, I'm Justin Johnson with McClure Engineering.
Thank you.
5417 North 118th Court in Milwaukee. Represent South
Victor. I traveled to Illinois today. I've done that in about 20 years, so I'm not the same person.
To answer your question, the church has done some internal master planning to evaluate what they think their needs will be in the future. Nothing has been formally approved within the church organization, but this parking lot is intended to meet their immediate needs and to allow for future growth, which then could prompt some modifications to the building itself. It's an immediate need, particularly in changeover between services. It's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, the pastor can share some things with me too about the long range planning, but depending on the amount of growth, I mean, there might be a need for a whole new plan.
Yeah, it sounds like there's been some different iterations discussed, but nothing.
A few of our churches are like that. They're exploding with the number of constituents that are coming, which is a good thing. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, then Alderman
Schmidt. Do you know what the current membership is now, or how much anticipating any major growth?
I don't know those numbers, sorry. What I have heard is that I think on Easter Sunday they had 800 or so folks in services. So pretty good job.
So where did they park all them?
They might have had some shovels.
High school. I guess I just also throw this in there, and that's that you may remember that the city asked this church to rezone their property back to something that was in the best interest, long-range interest of the city, and the church was very, very kind in doing so. And then also doing so in a rather rapid manner. So I think I'm going to make a motion. I think it's going to pass, but I also want to throw that out. I have a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for property located at 11010 West St. Martin's Road to allow for a 120% parking increase, driveway addition, berm construction, stormwater pond expansion, and landscape plantings addition. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded.
Is the public hearing still open? Or was it open?
We actually didn't have a public hearing. Did you want to say something?
We're all adjoining neighbors. We didn't even hear about this until Monday. Our
Why don't I do this? We do this. Is there a motion to suspend the regular order? Well, let me ask you to rescind your current motion.
I'll rescind the motion.
Okay, and the second. And I'm going to ask that a motion to suspend the regular order of business so that we can have some of the neighbors wish to speak.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. If you would, those that wish to speak, if you could come up to the microphone, please state your name and address for the record. I know some of you look fairly familiar to me, but... And
Phil Cohn, 7935 Mission Drive. Was there a reason we weren't notified earlier about any plans? I know it's all within the zoning, I guess, institutional, but I know I spoke to the pastor about a year ago and he was talking about a future school or something, and the site was too small anyway. You had land on 76th and Ryan that was going to be a bigger plan.
I think Mr. Deedle wanted to address the notification.
Yes. Neither state law nor city ordinances require a public hearing or any neighborhood notice for a change of this type.
Even if they're going over the parking space limit?
So this is only changing what's already there. So the previous matter was a rezoning, so changing what could be there. So that requires public hearing by state law and our city. But for a change like this, neither state nor city requires a public notice.
And what, the wetlands are going to be reevaluated or something?
They did that already. And that's shown on those maps.
Was there changes to the previous?
I believe there were. I think they were relatively minor, but generally made everything a little bit bigger.
More buildable space or where
no, more wetlands on the property.
More wetlands came out. What's the closest they can get to a wetland with a pavement?
For pavement, it would be 50 feet.
And building?
Same thing. They can temporarily disturb up to 30 feet, but 50 the pavement to the next room.
While it's not required, I'm guessing this whole thing came through while the election for alderman was going on. So that's one of the reasons I asked about whether the alderman was notified. Was he notified by the city or by...
Only from when whatever goes to the Plan Commission also goes to all the aldermen at the same time. So that's the only thing I can confidently say that the current alderman is aware of. He is aware of this packet of materials. But whether the applicant talked to him, the representative says yes. But I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, so far my impression of Alderman Mayer is very, very high, and I think he's going to be an exceptional alderman. And it seems to me that if this was out there, he would have tried to have some neighborhood meetings or something. So... And if we pass this tonight, that's pretty much it. Yeah. So it wouldn't give the alderman an opportunity to meet with constituents or the...
Not unless the applicant wished to slow down. But otherwise, our city process would...
We usually have people that are in attendance. The faces are more than a bit familiar to me. And... they usually don't show up at these things unless there's some concerns. Are you in a big rush for?
Well, I think the church is anxious to get this constructed because of their current needs with the parking. Looking to try to get this built in, assuming approval, trying to get it built in July or August when the weather's good and when it's not bad. Like, weather conditions. Maybe just to respond a little bit to some of the concerns that were just raised. We did put this plan together specifically in an effort to avoid tree lines and wetlands and such that are out there. Even the shape of this parking lot was tucked into the trees, not disturbing any of the treed areas on this property, maintaining those around the perimeter, as well as the wetland setbacks and others. So you know, that was a concerted effort on our part to maintain those buffers between us and our neighbors. In addition to that, the two neighbors that are immediately in front of our property, we've put our landscape plan together in an effort to minimize our impacts to them from vehicle lights and such, focusing our landscape efforts on those areas. So we feel like we've done our very best to minimize the impacts to the neighbors. I feel like this is a good project. We would certainly be anxious to move forward with it if it sounds like it.
I appreciate that.
I just have a quick question.
If you could, because we need to get it on tape. Is it on tape, or what do we call it?
Like 300 right now.
I think it was one of the papers. And I think you have 175 spots already, so there wouldn't really be immediate need, I don't think. That's the ratio of less than two people a car. I mean, unless you had a bigger building, you cannot get more than 300 people in that building. So
all I can say is
you almost need the building before you need the parking space. I know that's not the cheaper way to go, but so that really wouldn't apply.
I can't speak to the mechanism of their turnover between services, how they function, but I can't tell you that they voiced an immediate need for information.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is that, you know, I do know the pastor, and we were talking, in fact, he's my neighbor, so he's my neighbor. I also know that he is always asking me how the church can reach out and work with the community. And we do have a new alderman who's homegrown boy related to a family that's been around here for 100 years or so, maybe a couple hundred. The Plan Commission can move forward with a motion if they wish to, but I would highly recommend that you meet with the people that are in the neighborhood right now and be proactive and try and get a meeting with the aldermen as soon as possible. I said, I don't think you're going to find too many aldermen as reasonable and good as our new alderman, Dan Mayer. A little bit, you broke my glasses. I'll leave it up to the Plan Commission if you want to move forward on the motion.
If we were to postpone this, it would delay it by for another month then.
A couple more weeks, I guess. Probably.
July 18th would be the next regularly scheduled meeting, so about a month.
Yeah, the reason I'm doing this is because there was an election that went on, and I think that this is one of those where they thought George was going to do it and Bob was going to do it. I don't know how much it's going to change the outcome of the vote, but I've only been around here since '83. It's my experience. It's a very good idea to meet with the neighbors. So, Mr. Ritter?
Well, I certainly am supportive of the idea that between the residential properties, something like that, which could be like a berm, I study that showed their, the principal concern here, I think, was likely to come from trees. And there's already some distance involved and some trees in there, and that's okay. So I'm not necessarily concluding that more buffering would be needed, but is there some way to reserve the opportunity for that and yet still allow them to proceed?
Yeah. Well, I got both Jack Bennett and Mr. Deal, and both nodding their head yes. So that might be the solution, is to move forward on this. I would ask you to meet with the neighbors and the aldermen as soon as possible, and maybe right after this meeting is just have a little meeting with the folks that are here. Before I go any further, I want to make a motion to return to the regular order of business.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Bennett.
I would move that we approve the parking on the condition that church body, church group, meet with the neighbors that are here and have a concern, and if there's any concern that requires more buffering, either through landscaping or berming, that they bring this back to the next meeting, and that we do approve the parking, so they can get started on. They're not going to do the landscaping until fall and soon anyway. So if we need more landscaping or buffering or whatever, we can handle that. That'd be my approval, subject to them coming back if they need to from the neighbors.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. You okay with that?
That's perfectly fine.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. So so you understand, he's agreed that he's going to meet with you and hopefully get a call into your new alderman. And I think most of you know Dan anyhow. So, and then if we have any problems, we'll have to take it up with the minister. So, thanks very much for being reasonable. And thank the minister again for all the cooperation on that other issue.
Thank you.
All right, what do we have next? James C. Torbenson, Shows LLC. The staff is recommending approval, is that correct?
Correct. This is a temporary use at the Milwaukee County Sports Complex. The UDO sets forth temporary uses, a few which that staff can administratively approve. This doesn't fit under one of those. Also because the sports complex is under a special use that is primarily for recreational uses, and this is a little bit of a stretch. That's why this is coming before the Planning Commission. This also came before the Planning Commission last year for the first time, and the Planning Commission did recommend approval at that point. Looks like the applicant or the representative is here. Do you have any questions? The staff is recommending approval.
Is there any questions? Looks like this has been here before. Looks like it was very successful, if I remember correctly. Yes. City's attorney's not here, but for the record, we're still waiting for the overall comprehensive agreement for the use of the Milwaukee County Sports Complex use. And last time I talked to the former director, Sue Black, she told me that they took care of everything over at the Milwaukee County Park System. It's actually over by us. So, as you're well aware, there are ordinances regarding these subject matters. So, I would ask you to maybe contact the city attorney and ask him to try and move that along with his 450 other major issues. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none. Is there a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use, for a holiday craft and gift expo for property located at 6000 West Ryan Road?
So moved.
Is that moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item D, Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Development Location Project. Mr. Peter? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
These next two items are related to one another. This has been before the Planning Commission before. We have more information, more detailed information about the three alternatives that we're looking at. Brief summary again, the city's applied for a stewardship, received a stewardship grant to build a trail to connect the school, the park, and the neighborhoods to the north and the neighborhoods to the south together. The DNR, to any connection, will require impacts to the wetlands, unless we decide to build a bridge. And we're not envisioning a bridge at this point. So the DNR has asked us to prepare an alternative analysis, and that information will also be helpful so that the city can decide which route they will go. Because there are options. The city originally identified, or staff had originally identified an option on the south, the same one that we show on there on the south. But it had a significant portion located in the floodplain. Plan Commission expressed concerns about that, as well as the aldermen of the district. Staff, the aldermen in the district, DNR, and sewer pack staff went out in the field again, identified some more options. Nick can explain in more detail if you wish, the conversations that occurred out there, but it's my understanding from talking to sewer pack that these were the locations that sewer pack said were the best for the crossing. So we prepared these options. So the crossings of the wetlands are very detailed. How you get from that bridge that crosses the east branch of the river to one of those crossings, that's still flexible. We're trying to show our best guess of how you would get there, but it's subject to Plan Commission and County Council decision, as well as the actual site conditions they encounter when they build the trail, as well as after you cross the wetland, how you get it back up to the school. The reason I mentioned that is because the alderman of the district has contacted me and mentioned that the option that she likes the best, the northern option, isn't exactly the way she likes it. It's my understanding she'd prefer to see that dip down a little bit further south so that at some point in the future, a connection to the park, future park, would be necessary. It would be not quite as long of a stretch to go. That's my understanding of what her concern was. Otherwise, that northern route would be, I believe, generally consistent with what she was looking at. The middle route would be a new route. Like the other two routes, that wetland has been already disturbed in the past. All of these routes, the wetlands have been disturbed. That's why Sewer Pack chose these locations. Based upon our staff interest of getting a connection to the park and the school immediately and as efficiently as possible, and realizing the extent of the trail that would be in the floodplain in the southern option, we had originally recommended the southern option. Now we've changed it, and I believe our recommendation is going to be the middle option.
Is that two?
Yes, option or alternate two. Again, the actual location of that trail is, at least in staff's mind, is up to slight tweaking if necessary. The crossing would be pinned down in place of the wetland where the trail starts and where the trail ends would be. And then option alternate two would be providing a connection to that future park in the school. So again, just to sum it up, we need to prepare an alternatives analysis for the DNR. We have to show them alternate routes because there will be impacts to wetlands. This is their stated process. It would help a lot, both staff and the DNR, if the city indicated which one they prefer. Otherwise, we'd be basing our location on what the DNR wants. I'd recommend it should be what the city wants. So we should recommend to the DNR what position the city wants. And then the DNR conducts the alternatives analysis with that information as well.
I just want to point out, I was at that conference with Precision Graphics, where they won the big award, and the secretary of the DNR, when I put my hand out, actually gave me a big hug. So perception of the DNR not being friendly with the city of Franklin is absolutely incorrect. I didn't hear anything from her other than how can we best work together. I took a real strong stance the last time we were on this to go north, because I was under the impression that going north would keep the children away from the river and potential flooding down there, and that there was going to be no problem permits from the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers and the DNR. And now, after some field visits, I'm understanding there will be quite a bit of due diligence that's necessary to get that done.
I guess
the other thing is the other concern that I expressed is that I believe that any route here should try and go towards the new park if, in fact, the park is built. But I would like to see it as far away from the standing water as possible because we have a grade school up there and there's little children. So with that, I'm going to leave it up to the experts and the guy that's got 44 years of.
A couple comments. The green lines on the drawing or order number 2 will be pretty much out of the 100-year flood. I think it will be at least above the 10-year increment flooding and possibly even higher than that because they actually put fill in when they kind of put a dam across to build this little pond that's going to be. We did go out and take soil borings. Actually, we took our main backhoe out and dug in each one of these. And the first two, we have about 2 to 3 feet until you get down to clay soils. Particularly on the middle one, we would probably put clear stone in so we don't affect the permeability through the wetlands. And I think that should satisfy federal government Fish and Wildlife. They participated in that kind of pond or wetland or pond creation. They're part of that. But we probably left touch base with them. And I guess my concern on it is I think we need to be sure people won't walk a long way out of the way to get to where they want to go. And my concern on the North Trail, they build the North Trail and they want to go to the park, nobody's going to walk that far out of the way to get to the park. That's my concern. We're going to say, well, why in the hell would the city build a trail that doesn't go there? So I want to be sure that engineering did not recommend that. I probably favor the Alderman 2 trail. You can see it's not much longer than Alderman 1. In fact, we might bring up from the park. We just followed what was on the original park plan. But we could bring that trail up a little higher through the park. We're not committed to anything particular on that. And then there would be almost no jog back to the south.
Alternative 2.
We could, where it connects to the park, we could pull the park trail up a little bit.
Well, I'm presuming this connection right here is basically just on the presumption that we can do this.
Yes.
Whereas if we did this, or even move a little farther north, we could bring that, instead of crossing here or crossing here, as we could go here. Yeah, okay, here we're showing potential in here, potential in here. If we do this, I would see the crossing being here, and maybe then a trail coming down in here. Actually, I'd like to see that parking lot move a little bit closer to the bottom, but that's a future issue. We would have this if we did alternate 3, but if we're going to do alternate 2, we'd probably do this. I think this half gives a good access not only to the school, but for all of the neighbors. You know, there's a lot of residential up here. This would give them the access to the park, and this would also give this group the access to the park. It looks like, I think, the best compromise that provides the most expedient route to the most number of people. Whether it's children down here going to the park, or children going to school, people from up here coming down to the park, it seems to be the route that seems to work.
We have not designed. We have pretty much completed the design up over the initial East Branch with the old tractor bridge. In fact, I did hand out that it looks like we found some decking that we can purchase, some wood decking that we can install ourselves. We'll take off the upper steel portion, put this on. Our consultants have indicated that, we have at least 15,000 pounds of carrying capacity with the existing bridge. The bridge is, for a tractor bridge, it's a very good, well-built bridge. And this way, we've weighed the ambulance, we've weighed the wheels of the ambulance, and our consultant has determined that the ambulance will be able to go over the bridge, plus a pickup truck with a snowplow and a skid steer. So that's the three municipal vehicles that we would see: a squad, a pickup truck, and skid steer, and the ambulance. So all those will be able to go to the bridge. And the decking is 20,000 pound decking, so the decking will be a little bit. And we would pave then over the decking, so you would have your asphalt all the way through. If you wouldn't. They don't. The decking people don't want you to. They want the decking preserved with either wood or asphalt. It's not meant as a wearing surface. You know, we had the people from Minneapolis out there day before yesterday, and the whole thing. And I've also had another bridge deck person out, but I think we're for this sort of thing. So, and I have talked to the sewer pack has agreed to do the stream crossing that would be the FEMA and DNR people to submit our applications, but they want to be sure that we've identified the route. So when we cross the floodplains and the other locations, that we can include that in our application. The important thing when we cross the east branch of the Rouge River, we are not going to be able to elevate the trail through that. Trail right on the surface because there is not enough area under the bridge to carry the water. So each side of the trail must flood or we're going to end up building a dam and we're going to backwater. And we can't backwater more than a hundredth of a foot outside our own property. And there are some homes there, so it's best not to backwater at all.
As I was getting questions on this Pleasant View Park area, a couple of questions. What is planned for this whole area in the future? Is it just going to be left natural grassland?
When we did the pack, it's supposed to be for passive use, but they have relaxed some of the restrictions. I don't know that it would encompass ball fields or soccer fields.
But some other type of use other than just being grassland?
Not gazebo trails.
Okay. And our trails, they're constructed, I heard you talk about gravel or asphalt or big enough to carry vehicles?
Only vehicles would be municipal vehicles. Mm-hmm. To make it safe, it's good if a squad can drive it because then people won't know that any time a squad could be coming. It's,
right.
It's safer, and if we're going to make this year-round trail, we need to have a pickup truck be able to go over it or a skid steer. Mm-hmm. And then if the bridge would, we didn't know for sure if the bridge would hold it, but it appears that we could get an ambulance across. The fire station is right just down the street from that on Drexel Avenue, so it would make it short.
The only reason I bring it up is, as I think of vehicles going across trails and things like that, I noticed that the Border Patrol uses all-terrain vehicles. Some of the game wardens use all-terrain vehicles. And I just wondered if, has anybody explored the fact that perhaps an all-terrain vehicle at the fire department or at the police department would be an alternative to being able to access this area?
Our pickup trucks are all-wheel drive. Skid steer is all-wheel drive. Right. So,
okay.
In time of emergency, the former fire chief had arranged with the airport to use that all-terrain vehicle at the airport for the 60 miles an hour. If we had the point being is if we had to get to the school, the chief had assured me we would get there.
Okay.
Even if the firefighters.
I just you know, I'm
oh, yeah.
only asking because I haven't been here that long. To,
we cannot get a fire truck across our
bridge. That's, but there are other accesses from Hillendale and the other part of Pleasant View School.
Right.
If necessary.
Well, I don't know if I want to get into that.
My questions are answered. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Mr. Hillen?
A couple things. I don't know where to start. Let me first try to address some of Commissioner Bindle's concerns. One, when has it been made real clear, and you're new here, the funding for this trail is coming from the State Stewardship Program. It will require that the trail meets Americans with Disabilities Act standards and other trail standards. So it's possible to do it out of gravel compacted, but it's a very high maintenance, not a good, especially you commented about handicap accessibility. You asked someone in a wheelchair about traveling on a gravel path. And they
can't do it.
So it does need to be paved. It does need to be 10 feet wide minimum. Standard would be 411. And you can't exceed a 5% slope. So those are all things that almost any vehicle can move across. So if you build this for day-to-day use, multi-trail, you know, you tend to call them bike trails, but they're multi-use trails there for everybody. They will take almost any light vehicle.
You know, that's all my questions are answered. Thank you very much.
And that said, I think the only action in front of us tonight is approval of the natural resource exception, correct?
Or, if you wish, you could forward a recommendation.
Take action on this. Well, I won't repeat my comments last time on the NRPP. Certainly, we could approve it. I think it's a shame that we've even gone to the point of writing it up at this point. We don't know where the trail is going. There's probably no harm done in approving that plan, but I'll just leave it at that and get into my next comments. I walked the site. I was there with Corps of Engineers, ENR people. I know a little bit about building trails, and none of these are the alternative that I would. Alternative one is far closer to the logical trail. And again, I don't want to belabor this. There are many considerations when designing a trail. And the first one you almost always start with is where are you trying to get people from and to? And I keep hearing a lot of talk. It seems that our major focus is on connecting to a park. The park doesn't exist. The park isn't funded. The park isn't designed. I've heard suggestions about maybe the parking lot should be arranged. I can make a whole bunch of improvements to the layout of this park, but we just don't know yet. And until the council has a plan done and agrees to fund it, you don't have a park. So the comment about people saying, well, why did you build a trail that goes nowhere? That's where you're going to get the nod, is why did you build a trail that goes to a park that doesn't exist? And I get to the end of the asphalt, and there's just dirt and grass. So I think it's more important to look at the big picture. And if you step back, and if you, for history, for those that haven't been around, this trail, our comprehensive, our rec plan shows trails coming somewhere through here, but it's not specific. It's schematic. It shows generally that we should be making these connections. The former Trails Commission went to great lengths there, actually, you know, drafted the grant request for this project. It was designed around multiple alternatives that could work, but the real idea was to connect people from the school, from the enormous residential neighborhoods to the north, east, and west, and to allow them not to get to an unknown park, but to connect with neighborhoods to the south, and ultimately the high school and the trail that's been developed there and all the improvements we're going to see. The idea was to connect neighborhoods to meaningful features. So I think it's great that we've pretty well engineered out the southern part. We have very few choices about alignment. It's great that the bridge works for us. I'm sure that there are ways that can be made safe and sound. But everything north of there, alternate three I spoke to last time, it makes very little sense to me from a safety perspective. If you wanted to look at it as an alternate road to serve the park because the park is designed only has one point of access, then maybe it's a good access in or out of the park. But in terms of a recreational trail, it's not where people want to go. It's going to be wet, it's low, And yes, it's shorter, but that's only shorter if you were in the Victory Creek subdivision and wanted to get to the unbuilt park there. So when we build a park, you can add more trail. You can put it where it needs to be. You add segments. Our Oak Leaf Trail, the park system, 115 miles. It was not built as one piece. You lay out logical segments, and then you encourage neighborhoods, institutions to connect to it. You find ways to connect. Ultimately, maybe this is something that could be tied into that network. But for now, you don't get just one shot at it. What we should be doing is putting in a trail in the right location that offers a great recreational experience that's accessible to all, and shortness of trail is rarely a benefit. And I don't want to get into, we've got a whole nice pros and cons table here. I could pick this apart. That's not where we need to go. The real pros are you're creating a recreational trail, and you want to put people where they can go and recreate and enjoy nature. And walking under the trees in a very degraded woodland along a river and a swamp and a wetland isn't where they want to be. And safety reasons, all of that. So let's put that aside. The alternate one is closest to that which should work. I said I didn't like any of them. I don't really think it's the correct alignment. Certainly, as the alderman said, it needs some tweaks. I believe they're relatively significant tweaks. What we're missing here is you're designing trails at a conceptual level. And this is fine for a comprehensive rec plan, and it's fine for a grant application. The grant application specified that that there could be alternates. The Safe Routes to School effort that we put forward was adopted and is part of the comprehensive plan. Okay? And it spoke of different alternatives. So we're not really tied to anything. We've gotten to a point where we now have funding, we have an opportunity, let's create a great trail. That's what we should be doing. Quite frankly, any talk about cost and benefits are silly at this point because you haven't picked a trail. The comparisons don't matter. Alternate 3 has very little merit, in my opinion. All it does is connect a park and a single neighborhood of about 30 residences. I do agree there should be an accommodation. We should know where it will connect to the park at some point in time. But that segment can be built when the park is ready to go. We should build as much trail in the right spot as we can with the money we have. Period. Alternate 2 is going to have a lot of surprises for it. Again, when we walked this on site, we actually walked alternate 3 from south to north. We got up there as we came back. We looked at some of these alternate areas. Both the gentlemen from the Corps of Engineers and the DNR questioned me as we were walking down as why we were looking at an alternate along the river, especially given the law. There are alternatives. The other alternatives certainly have less impacts, are probably cheaper, would probably provide more recreational experience, a better recreational experience. So the crossing on alternate 2, you want surprises, go there. We discovered it after we looked up. The single best, most logical place to cross this is the single crossing up at the top on alternate 1. The wetland that's been identified off to the northeast only matters if we put the trail there, and that's not where the trail needs to go. This plan that you're looking at doesn't reflect any serious attempt to deal with the contours. The trail cannot exceed 5% in continuous, or it could be a little steeper in some areas. There's standards that need to be made. There's some steep slopes out here. So these alignments don't work. As I was out there in the field, I developed a very strong eye for determining where acceptable slopes are and aren't, and I believe that you can make a very nice trail from the bridge to the school with one simple wetland crossing that doesn't necessarily require permitting, because my understanding is the Corps is not taking jurisdiction on that one, and you can span it with a 12-foot boardwalk that might cost a couple hundred dollars. Okay? So why not go there? And the reality is we may be forced to go there because it's not our decision. It was stated all of the alternatives, as shown, impact wetlands. That appears to be true. When you go to get permission to impact wetlands, they want an alternatives analysis. They want you to have looked at all alternatives that might work and truly weigh the pros and cons. And we don't get to pick. I the statement was made, we should tell them which one we want. I agree 100%. We should find the best alignment, see this is what we want, and here's the rationale for it. But I'll tell you what, we come in with alternate three or alternate two, and they're going to demand the lesser alternate. There's almost no impact. In fact, it's questionable. There's a crossing of a couple of feet of wetland, as opposed to 30, 50, 100, 150 feet. When you increase the impacts to the wetlands, the buffers all get bigger. Just look at this drawing, look at the colors, and you tell me where the least impacts are. You can have one or two small impact here, or you can have lots of big ones. All of the crossings are still within the floodplain. This is a much lesser part of the floodplain, less risk to users. Again, you can make a crossing without impacting the wetlands, and then you don't require a permit. You only require a permit when you disturb the wetlands. So you can easily span right over this. If you've used our Oak Leaf Trail of 68th and Drexel area in there, you see we've done some extensive boardwalks. And yes, they come at a price, but those are built in wetlands on concrete piers and designed to take service emergency vehicles. That's expensive. This can be a very small on-grade. It doesn't need to climb up and over anything. It needs to step over, be done with the precast structure. Much less impact. The crossing and alternate two, as we walk down, again, I'm talking to the regulators. I work with these people. I know the standards. They're having conversation with me. They said, the top crossing sure looks like the right place to go. As we came down, this alternate two crossing looked like it had potential. And we couldn't figure out, and I didn't have the background at the time to know that it was put in as part of a U.S. Fish and Wildlife project. And that project, as I understand it, was actually intended to hold back the water, to let it through, but to hold it back and not just have this one rapidly running gully. So where you're going to get into real surprises is that one. It was probably a berm that was pushed up from adjacent soils on the farmland. They didn't bring in engineered fill. They didn't do anything. I think Jack said the borings, you know, showed a good 18 inches of topsoil. By the time you go in there and dig out all of that topsoil and put in gravel, engineered fill, and bring it back up to the point where you can put asphalt on it, your footprint will have expanded laterally in an enormous way and at great cost, and it'll still be wet. Why not step over the plug? So I don't know why we keep pushing for this when we can really come up with an alternative that's a good compromise. The trail that's out there mowed, which currently runs along the east edge, is much closer. There's no reason to push this trail out into the middle of the field. Up here on the north flanks, these will not get you an acceptable 5% slope. I pointed them out to others walking along as we did. There's a completely different alignment, and it sort of relates to the mowed trails, but even that we'd be motivated, where you could probably do this whole thing at a 5% slope with very little remediation.
We have checked. You can on the upper trail, you can get that 5%. We haven't designed it yet, but Brian has checked.
Whereas I'm willing to bet you that alternate 2 and 3, you will have to introduce meanders, other techniques in order to get a 5%.
Alternate 2 is flat. There's no problem. Alternate 3.
But that's alternate 2 stays flat by going to the park.
Yeah.
This north-south run exceeds 5%. I don't want to debate it, Jack. I'm just saying that it's this attempt to try to connect to the park right now. We should be making a connection between the school and the neighborhood, and if there's a way that we can fund a spur that comes off the Peter Future Park, great. But I think we're designing this for the wrong reasons. You could ask about the condition of the fields, what this would be. Everything that was given to the city by the Metropolitan Sewage District has been restored to native color. Needs some work. There's some invasive species in there, but it's returned to pre-settlement vegetation, which is stable. It's very picturesque. It's a nice walk. It's a nice ride to meander through this stuff and get up there. Building trails is not about building freeways or roadways. It's about an experiential quality. People will gladly go out of their way, even 100, 200 feet. That's where the trail goes. They'll stick to it. They're not going to put a corner on it. So I just think we have to think about a recreational trail, not a roadway. I would like to see an alternate of one go forward, but I think it can be tweaked to even further minimize or eliminate wetland impacts and actually provide a more experiential trail and decrease the overall length. All of these alternatives almost seem as if they've been drawn to consume more trail, to make them longer, very intuitive to me to walking this that there's a very direct, straight, scenic trail that gets you where you need to be. So I don't know why we're here again. I know we need to move forward. The assumption is we're still going to need permitting. Got to go to the DNR. You have to at least do the application. So why not reduce it to the preferred alternative? We'll show the other alternatives because you need that for your alternatives analysis and see what they say. We don't know. We're just guessing. And from my experience with the regulators, they're going to say that the rules are avoid, minimize, and mitigate. And that means you first try not to touch a weapon. And if you do have to touch it, then you minimize it. You impact the least amount possible. And once you've done that, or you can't do that, then you're forced to do mitigation. Wetland mitigation, Franklin's ordinances decide the mitigation will be required for these impacts to natural resources. DNR mitigation of wetlands, you know, last I heard, is going for $60,000 a unit. So it's a very expensive venture, and it happens up north in the only licensed landfill accepting applications right now. Here, we can say we're going to mitigate impacts to buffers and setbacks by doing wetland enhancement, other techniques. We can do that at the city level, at the state and federal government. We have to comply with the law.
The law, we think, is going to be changed. My understanding will be changed.
And my understanding, well, it won't be exempted. If it's under
be a general permit.
10,000 feet, it's a general permit, which doesn't require the mitigation. And what I'm trying to suggest here, I would be very surprised, and I'll be the first one to admit I'm wrong, if the DNR permits either of alternatives two or three, because you got a better low-pack alternative that probably makes for a better trail, and you can still have a beautiful trail that gets you to your future park. Plan on it coming to here, get a spur in. It's very, very doable, but we keep going to the same non-alternatives.
So what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is that we pursue a modified alignment, do the engineering on something that looks like alternate one. I'd be more than happy to show. I'd be willing to draw it on paper. I walked what I believe is a very nice, straight, sinuous trail at less than a 5% grade the whole distance. So we can approve a natural resource protection plan. It only has value if we choose alternative two. And if those quantities hold true, if we get it there, isn't that the one that's supported?
Three. Alternate three is the special exception.
Okay. Well, so then if we take two or one, then that effort is useless. Or if the design changes even a little bit and realigns this, the impacts of buffers increase. So I guess I don't understand it. Let's move on to a design before we fret about all this other stuff. We lay out trails, where do you need to go, from where to where, what's the best, most scenic route, then how do you manipulate that to comply with the standards and codes, and that's what you do, and that's not what we're doing here, and I'm confused. I put a year in my half of my life into working on applications, coming up with a strategy to do this, and it seems to all be driven by a desire to connect to a park that doesn't yet exist, so I'm confused, and I'll stop preaching now. I think that there is merit to having an intelligent discussion about a modification of alternate one that serves everybody's needs.
Okay.
I was planning to express my support for alternate one before I even had the expertise of Commissioner Haley, so that kind of further convinces me that that would be the correct one to pursue with possibly some modifications. As far as the discussion of shortest distance to a park or whatever, this is a trail. I mean, if I look at the Oak Leaf Trail, I was going to walk the Oak Leaf Trail from Ryan Road to Ross, and if I wanted the shortest distance or the fastest time, I'd just get in my car and drive. But the people walk that route because they want to go for the scenery and they enjoy the walk. So if this particular path seems to go a little bit farther northeast or whatever, it is designed to be a nature trail. And I feel that also it is more accommodating to the students at the Pleasant View School as well. So I'd be very much supportive of alternate one with possible some modifications.
Yeah, I guess we may maybe, I wasn't involved in the application, but the application is to two places, the school and the park. I feel, is that?
I have copies here, and I can quote it. It's mentioned many times throughout the application, the park and the school.
So, are we right in eliminating the park from this? I don't know how many parents are going to let their kids walk through this area to get to school. I wouldn't let my kids. It's been wild. There's nobody around. I think the trail is going to be primarily used to park. When we had the survey of the schools, I think we had 6 or 7 children walking to school, but almost not. My kids were a block and a half from school, 2 blocks from school, about to go to school, and they never walked to school. But after they got home, they put their play clothes on and ran back to school to play. That's just kind of the way it is. But I think you make a terrible mistake if you do not include the park in this criticism. I think that's why we're doing it. The city's got over $2 million that they have to spend in the next 2 years to give the money back for the impact fees. They've got to start building. I don't know why they haven't started earlier, but if they don't start building parks, they're going to have to return by state law.
Jack, actually, we have been working for a long time on that. It's just that Milwaukee County, when we asked them about 51st and Pews, they didn't give us an answer. And we're also working on the Crystal Ridge Ski Hill, which would use up all the park impact fees and things like that. So, maybe just a little shot. I just want to clarify.
Well, we do have $2 million that we can spend and we should spend.
That's
And I think we're going to. I think what I hear is now a real push to start spending the park.
And if I might, I agree we should spend the money. We should build this trail. The trail is more than about connecting to that park. How do kids north of the east of the school get to the high school? We're about to rebuild the high school with all these great facilities that they can use, events, fields, facilities. How do they get there?
Don't need a long explanation. The lands to the north of this trail, alternate one, I think they're conservancy lands. Are those potential future parks in that land, or are they owned privately?
They're ours. They've been deeded over to us by Indiana State, but they can only be used for passive purposes.
Okay, so there could be trails through there, or walking paths, or... Well, looking at that and then looking at this diagram, we're already making one trail up to that area and then over to the school. Are we limited if we build alternative one in the future, being able to build alternative two?
Or any other alternative. Always more.
That's what I meant, is we could do a connector if there was a request to go straight to the...
And if I might, I'm still advocating a connection to the future park. Mm-hmm. It still should be there, but it should come off of alternative one or the other two.
Okay.
Mr. Ritterick.
Well, I'm certainly not going to question, the expertise of the other people here and those who have been involved in the on-site inspections. I was on-site as well. And when I was on site, I noticed how littered up this was here, and so I went back on citywide cleanup day, and I picked up a full bag of garbage. So those 6 or 7 kids are really trashing the place badly if they're walking to school if it's only 6 or 7 kids. My guess is there's a little more activity than that going on here. I find it unusual for me to be the optimist here, but I'm thinking this park is going to happen someday. I don't dispute the fact that it's not there now. But I'm willing to presume for purposes of discussion that it will happen someday, and so I'm reluctant to base decisions now on the presumption that it's not there, so let's not consider it. My guess is it's going to be there at some point. Sounds to me like we need alternatives to proceed. I'll say let's abandon alternative three. Let's consider alternatives one and two. Let's move alternative one down a little bit. Let's move alternative two up a little bit. Let's get on with something a little more realistic about how we can proceed with this. If it sounds like we need two alternatives at least anyway, so that would be my suggestion. Let's give up on alternative three. If there's some revisions to alternative one, that's fine. Let's go ahead and develop that as an alternative. If there's a prospect of moving alternative two a little more to the north, I do think that when the park is developed, if we don't do this something here now, when the park is developed, there's going to be demand for it. So I'm reluctant not to do it now on the presumption that, well, let's just not do it now because there isn't a park there. I think it's going to happen at some point anyway. And when it does, how much you say it's going to get? Yeah, it'll get some casual walking. I'm not saying we should abandon it, but my guess is this is going to ultimately, by the time the park is there, be the more intentionally used. Also, once this is there, if there is any pedestrian travel from the residences up here down to the high school, my guess is it's going to come down here, it's going to go over to 51st and take the sidewalk down to the high school. Would be my guess is the most likely. So I guess that's my suggestion. Let's give up on alternative three. Let's move alternative one down a little bit. Let's move alternative up a little bit and move on with something more realistic that we can then use to just take action on at some point.
What do you say, Kevin?
You can't move alternative one down because then you're going to get the wetlands. And you can't move alternative two up because then you won't be in the disturbed area.
We were just talking about earlier, maybe I was misunderstanding, I thought you were saying that alternative two might be moved a little further north.
If I might, for the permitting purposes, you want to identify all of the alternatives. You leave three on the table. We looked at this option. We decided for safety, for floodplain impacts, we weren't going to go there. You look at two. You state what your preferred alternative is. You list the other ones, and they will make the decision for you. It is not ours to make. I believe that we can connect the neighborhoods, the schools, and the future park. A great creative path. It's a matter of realigning, moving things over, starting this drop down here. This can all swing this way, come like that. No significant increase to linear footages. There's a compromise that serves everything here. It's a variant of one. But you keep them all on the table. That's what you showed the DNR and the Corps. You said, we looked at all of our alternatives. This is the one we'd like to proceed now. Which one may we go ahead?
Why don't we take a stab at somebody making a motion? See what happens.
If the if you're looking at modifying alternate one, would that like become another alternate then?
I guess, from our standpoint, I think we should do conceptual right now because we don't want to go out and profile, design, take soil borings, find out what the topsoil and everything else to design these things. I think you ought to work in concepts. And then once DNR or whoever we get approval on, then we go into the design. And we got to thread it up through the hill, be sure that we get a less than a 5% grade. We may have to do some cutting and filling to do that. But to do that, for each one of these trails would be a monumental task at this time.
Well, okay, so what's left to be done to get us to where we can get a decision from DNR?
I think we're there.
We're there.
I think, yeah, I guess my the way DNR really should work is that the municipality, or the one making an application, should apply for which one they think is the best for the community. And give the reasons why they're doing that. And then it's DNR to determine if those reasons are worth additional wetland damage or takings. And that's what they look. They look for an alternative. You pick what you want, and then DNR can come back and say, we don't think you've justified
that you have good reason to pick that alternative, and we're going to deny you. And then you'd have to come back with another alternative. And maybe by that time, you'd have to come back and say, okay, we're going to knuckle under and do what you said. But I was out there, and yeah, I think they probably prefer, DNR is always going to prefer the minimum. But, I mean, that's their job. And the Corps of Engineers, that's their job. But they are to look to see what benefits there is to the community, and you know they are to take into consideration what you're going to do and show the alternative. All of these alternatives are in disturbed areas. There's not one of these alternatives that the area hasn't been disturbed. And we had Sewer Pack out, Don Reed out to look at these. In fact, we had a fourth alternative, one kind of in between alternative one and two. And Sewer Pack said, no, that's not a viable alternative. It's the only one that wasn't disturbed. And so we're going through three alternatives that were disturbed. And so that's what I would, you know, I mean, we prefer, I think staff prefers alternative two, because we do think it's terribly important to get to the park. And that's the reason. I don't have a, very frank with you, alternate three is probably easiest to build. Because we have very little wetland, I would not build a boardwalk because we're not going to build a boardwalk for an ambulance to get through. It's just going to be too expensive. But very soon we should have this new ordinance from the or code from the state that's going to exempt 1,000 square feet for trails, and we can get it by general permit with no mitigation. And so that alternative number one, we could build such that we could put police, ambulances, and snow plow in the winter time. If you put a boardwalk, I don't know how you're going to snow plow unless you build a $30, $300 a foot boardwalk like they did up in Mequon. I got pictures of what they did in Mequon. You might be able to get a vehicle on that, but even then, I don't know if you're going to rip them up. But most of the boardwalks are not meant to be.
I feel like I'm in the Clash of the Titans. I mean, the dean of the Oak Creek Trail and the dean of engineering.
And we're looking for a resolution. I might take a stab at it.
Okay.
But I would just first like to clarify, Jack, most of what you said is right. But the alternatives analysis is ours to do. We go to the DNR and say, here's our permit. This is the preferred path that we like. We have also looked at B, C, D, and E, and then they will evaluate, and hopefully they would agree, but remember, they're controlled by state statutes and federal law. They can't just give you a little bit of wiggle room here and there, all intentions aside. Okay? So, I guess I'd like to make a resolution, and I believe this is also consistent with action that the council took. It would now pass a resolution saying to pursue the northern route.
Well, nothing is ever there.
Okay. My understanding was there was a motion made to pursue the north route, and that it was unanimously passed by the council. But not in court.
Maybe it's more than court of supervisors.
We'll see. I guess I would make a motion that we proceed to do the alternatives analysis that's required for these programs, focusing on a variant of alternate one as the preferred alternative. Tweak all of them so that they have the least impacts, the most recreational value, and pursue one that follows the alternate one alignment, makes connections to the school, the neighborhoods, and the future park, and that is what we move forward and submit for our permit.
For a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Under discussion, it's where the staff gets to put your professional opinions forward.
I have two concerns. One is, yes, if it includes a connection to the park at this time as well, I have less concerns. Because I think it is in the grant that we have to connect to both, and we'll lose points if we don't. Does that make a difference? Up to the DNR. So that, I have less concern there. My second concern, and I agree it's not my concern, it's the council concern. So my concern is it might add costs. And I'm concerned that the council would be concerned. We might lose that connection to the park because of the added costs. That's my answer.
Jack, you've given your concerns, but this really is, it's really a unique opportunity because I respect the heck out of both of Mr. Haley and Mr. Meadow with their expertise in this field. I mean, people just rave about the open bike trail in the cabin base of the building. But there are a couple things that have come up tonight that I want to just express. And that's Jack has raised the issue of safety with the children walking to school. And I agree with that loud and clear. And I guess we had some people that came in here Tuesday night asking about, pretty much demanding that we, city, build soccer fields and build them as quickly as possible. And the first place that came to mind outside of Howling property was this park. I know it's been planned for a baseball diamond, but we're going to have a couple of baseball diamonds in the city. So, while usually it takes government crawls at the pace of dinosaurs. This one may happen overnight with that park getting developed. And then there was also women's softball, and there was the Can't You and the school district get together and do something about here, it's like the women athletes are not being treated properly, equally, and maybe some merit to. So, I think the thing that's got me the most is the safety of the children walking to school. And but I think the motion that Kevin has put forward, Mr. Haley has put forward, is a very good motion. I think it gets us moving in a direction. Last piece is, I was under the impression that parties wanted this to get done as quickly as possible. I think the motion moves in a different direction and it's going to take a long time. And I also want to, for the benefit of the record or whatever, there are a lot of competing interests for those impact fees. And like I said, we have accumulated quite a bit dollars in there, but let's just hypothetically say that we buy a large parcel of land or we buy several large parcels of land, that those dollars would be gone overnight. In fact, we wouldn't have enough. Or if you wanted to build, let's say, a community center.
And they got to be matched, too. Which is kind of...
And they have to be matched, and that means we have to go out and borrow. So there's also going to be some delays, but I appreciate the discussion tonight. Hearing all of you loud and clear, and I think it's a good motion. It's moving us forward.
And if I just might, I don't think it's going to slow us down. Because if I understand where we're at, we're waiting on state law to change before we even submit our application. The tweaks we're talking about can be handled in a matter of hours. It's manipulating these lines and these pages based upon what staff, what others have seen. If we revisit the site, move the lines, get the draft application ready, and the day that the state law changes, we submit and we go, it won't cost us any more time.
And that's the only thing we're worried about is where we cross.
Yep.
That's the only thing we've got to go to DNR on.
Correct.
So, how the trail meanders on each side of the crossing really doesn't make any difference.
No. And that's a matter of aesthetics and how nice the trail is and what it costs.
We met these as concepts and not that they do all this.
Right.
And we know we have to thread up through the contours to get about 5%.
I would hope that it doesn't slow us down at all. We can agree on refining these three alternatives and then start pre-engineering on them. I'm not looking at significant cost difference in any of these. Remember, it's grant money we got, 50% of it's already there. This is for the recreational purposes. And it's going to serve a future park. That is always the goal.
Do you feel that if we build this purple trail, alternate number one,
any of the kids would use that to get to the park.
Yes, but I wouldn't build it that way. And we don't need to talk about it now. I've walked this,
but I mean,
I was there, and I said I'd go right here, here, and avoid the wetlands and get the slope.
You feel anybody getting to the park would walk way up to the north, however they got, however you meandered this back, or would they take alternate number three? That's a mode trail, or they make their own trail. My feeling is no kid's going to walk that far out of the way to get something. I was a kid, even an adult, won't walk. They'll take a bicycle, they'll take a car, but they won't walk much further. If there's a shorter route, they're going to take. If there's a corner, if you go to a campus, if there's a corner, they cut the corner.
Yeah, what do you mean you were?
They will go where the trail was laid out.
Oh, I don't think so.
The alternative is 300 feet across a raw dirt field with nothing but weeds in it. Nobody's going to walk that. They're going to stick to the pavement. You put the trail. I'm not suggesting you go out of the way.
Well, we do have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Mr. Fuchs, do you think you could read back the motion?
All right. We move the motion to proceed with the alternative analysis, focusing on variant alternate one, tweaking all alternatives to have the least amount of impacts and most recreational value, and makes connections to the school neighborhood and park.
I'm going to ask for one addition, and this motion, along with these plans, be sent to the Franklin School District for your review and consideration, given that we are talking about school children. Okay. Thank you. And if you a second. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
Okay. We have three ayes, two noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
I think I got more education than I asked for.
Yeah.
That's the problem with me.
It's not a problem at all. It's actually, they're all very fortunate they have.
Well, when I looked at the packet, I knew there was issues, and I appreciate the information.
You haven't got me so lost, I lost the agenda.
There.
Okay. Item E.
That is the natural resource special exception for alternate three. At this point, it looks as if, based on the Plan Commission's action, that we prefer a variance or a variation of alternate one. We could, at this point, if you wish, recommend denial of this natural resource special exception for alternate three, because it's not the one that Plan Commission wants.
I'll recommend denial.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those.
Who's the second?
Ritter. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. That was very helpful, Mr. Ritter, when you said, hey, we can eliminate these three ways. Okay, item F, County Manager Report. This is for informational purposes. So, to show that not only was he here, but he actually attended the classes. Great deal.
I thought you were going to
Hawaii. He brought a lot of
stuff. What did you call
those? Never been in Hawaii, and the next 3 years are not quite in Hawaii.
So unless you have any questions,
Hawaii is great.
It was for informational purposes. You guys have?
I think his report was very comprehensive.
He's all right.
The
bike trails.
I don't need to be obnoxious about following the discussion where those names get out here, but I guess I would like to add, in terms of some of the concepts that we're talking about here and planning staff role and that kind of thing and so forth, how close is this to what you're currently doing? Would you
see it beneficial for plans to have to move in the direction of some of the things here, to the extent that you may not already be there? I mean, just, and it doesn't need to be an elaborate discussion. But just, what was your reaction when you saw this in terms of how it impacts what planning staff currently does?
We already do a little bit of what they are talking about. One of the ones, the one that was most interesting to me, partly because of the speaker, but partly because of just my interest, is again being prepared ahead of time. There are communities that go that extra mile, be prepared ahead of time. An example in particular that the session I'm thinking of is where you identify 3, 4, 12 properties in the city for different kinds of uses that you want. I want an industrial user here. I want a commercial user here. I want a business office type here. You've identified ahead of time the actual exact prop or portion thereof. You've tried to rezone it ahead of time, do prep work ahead of time, do due diligence ahead of time. Some communities even go so far as to buy it, put it in the TIF, whatever, get the utilities to it. Some even go so far, a few, mostly on the two coasts, nobody in Wisconsin that I'm aware of, goes as far as to build the building, hoping that they'll get what they want in that building that they just built. But nobody in Wisconsin goes that far that I know. But there are things that we could do. Again, zone it, get every preliminary approval that we can at NRPP, NRSE, right of first refusal, find out what utilities are present, what utilities could be provided. I have run into problems when companies ask me for this kind of information. The utilities, electric and gas, are not very cooperative. But I want to ask, what does that building have right now? What could it have easily if somebody asked? Well, do you have a specific user? Well, no, this is a blind inquiry. And that's what these inquiries are, blind inquiries. They don't tell you who they are. They don't tell you exactly what they want. They give you categories of what they want. A building of this size, utilities similar to this, and that's all they tell you. And then that kind of inquiry is submitted to economic development professionals across the area they're looking at, that the company is looking at. So when I go to the gas and electric companies with that information, they're reluctant to give me it. And it's like pulling teeth. I went to a conference or a workshop that the state had, and that was what most of the planners said as well. They were running into that same problem. The first half of that workshop was a gripe session. Less than a week turnaround on one of these inquiries, and it was slightly off track. But it was a test, a state test of the system, of this blind inquiry, economic development, and economic inquiry process. It was a test, so it wasn't a real company, but it was a typical average request. Less than a week to reply, not a lot of detailed information, requesting people to get all this thing together, gas and electric isn't working with you, and that was a key criteria in this proposal. And a lot of people got rated on everybody got rated on the replies, and most of us fell down on those categories. So there was gripe sessions. But so the speakers at this conference were aware of all this. It's not just in Wisconsin, it happens in other states too. So they're saying, no, you take that effort, you go ahead, you pester that gas and electric company until we give you the data you want. We have it all laid out, nice and shiny and glossy, and keep it up to date. So when somebody comes in for an office building, you say, here's our preferred site, we've got all the data. This is how much it's going to cost, this is what it already has, this is what you would need to add, and then all you can do is compare that to what they're asking for, and then you highlight, you know, all the things that you already need. So that was, like I said, we do a little bit. I have already on half a dozen sites some information. Sites that I've used a couple times in the past. And I coordinate with Jesse too. He helps me select some of these sites. But there's a lot more we could do as a planner to get more information. There's more that we could do as a city. Like I said, not too many people in Wisconsin do it, but on the East Coast and the West Coast, they do it. But things that aren't that rare in Wisconsin, TIF district. Put it in the TIF district. You don't know for sure what you're going to have, but you know that's our prime office spot, but our prime commercial spot. So you get it all ready. So there are things that we could do, and if and their predictions are competition will get more fierce, even if the economy recovers more than it has already. That's what we think of it. And the other trend that they were saying is that more and more companies are skipping the state organizations and going straight to the local communities because you're able to find more information on the internet. Because they'll hire a consultant to do the first round of searching. And the consultants can find more information more and more as years go by on local websites. And then they start to do the same thing. They'll have their list of local communities that have certain types of availabilities. And so they'll skip the state organizations, go straight to the local, and say, I got somebody interested in this kind of site. I think you might have one to be able to details yet. So that's sort of interesting. And again, that they're predicting that this will become more common and more competitive.
Just an anecdote, many of you are planning on taking vacation for the next month or so. I think you can all plan on getting
retail is really the comment that was made earlier about our next regular meeting being July 18th. Does that mean we're not having the first meeting in July?
Right, that would be the fourth.
It would be the fourth, but okay. As a council, should there be the 9th?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Should we schedule, change our meeting to? Are we in a position, given the comment you just made about the amount of activity, should we be skipping a meeting in July or should we be scheduling on another day?
I think we should, we talked, and I talked about it, there's some conflict with it, but I think we should put it out there just based on what happened to me today.
Yeah. We can't skip the 18th because we have public hearing notices already sent to the newspaper. But we can always add another one.
My other follow-up question was, either for staff or for the mayor or the alderman, as I reviewed county council again, it appears that the council has been discussing economic development. We had extensive discussions of economic development years ago about plans and so forth, but that was with different people at a different time and a different economic climate. Do you have any sense that the council is drifting towards more extensive development of economic development? Or is this...
Well, it's no secret that I placed on the CDA agenda several occasions discussions in closed session about future business plans. And we did go to closed session. Guests that were part of those meetings. I think some of the new members may want to get going on some of those things. The constantly hearing about Gold Creek and keep saying, if you have $20 million and you want to buy three business parks, you have to qualify. I don't want to call it that view. The word parking is coming up quite a bit. So it's something that really has not been embraced in the city of Franklin, not embraced by either. I think they're going to get more active on that. I think what they're finding out, I did listen to some of the tapes, is that there's a big difference between being a volunteer and trying to do recruitment and retention, and then having professionals that are going to work at least 20 hours a week doing those things. I mean, when Doug Wheaton left here, we've been handling that issue, let's not forget that there was a conscious decision not to fill that position because there was a cost associated with it and the economy. I mean, you could have done the best PR firm anywhere. You know, nothing was going. Now it's picking up. I think what I'm going to have to tell that task force when it gets going is, as much as people think that there's not economic development here, we actually have a whole plan. You and I sat on the technical board, Franklin, and all that, and we took all that and put it into the conference management plan. We do have a plan. But out of all of the municipalities in Wisconsin, where did Myers first come? I mean, they came to us. Now, was that because we had an economic development director? I would argue, no. It's because we're Franklin. And we're just kind of in a spot where everything around us was burst. And there's going to be a few other things in short order that I hopefully will be bringing into you that, again, will signal that these businesses are no longer going through the state. They're coming straight to the municipality. And it's not me, but most businesses want the mayor on the phone. They want to talk to the mayor. I've got a couple coffees that are set up. I was down in Illinois today looking at some big stuff. I came up here. So I think, yeah, they want to get active. Business parks. And, you know, you could really look at business parks prior to the sewer. And maybe I'm wrong about this, Jack. You've told me this 1,000 times, but my understanding is that there is no sewer south of Wheaton, Francisco. Well, it might be an ideal location, but you're going to have to fund that. That's not really cheap.
What's the connection on County Line Road? I thought that was where they're going to make the branch to the west.
Actually, that's going to be Elm.
Or Elm Road?
Okay. No, sort of Elm Road.
Okay.
And everybody, you know, now, this came back to your. Because Oak Creek is kind of driving the discussion, but people aren't looking into the history about what's going on. Now they're opening up a new business park down there. Well, that's because they ran the sewer down there a long time ago, and then they did a land swap with the school district. And these things have been in the works for years and years and years. So, by the way, if there are people that are interested in serving on the task force that have either been PVC members or CBA members, you should contact your office. Okay? City of Franklin Complete Streets Connectivity Committee. Obviously, everybody knows there was a resignation, but I just filled the position. Should have the ability of having quorums. I think that it would be very wise to revisit the structure of that committee, number of people on there, times that it meets. I mean, I asked Nick to go through all of the times and dates when the meetings took place. Was it like 6 out of 10 or something like that? They were all canceled, or 10 were canceled, 6 were out. And, it's just that structure, when I look at it, is quite a bit different than all of the other structures. It's like, you know, 5, 7 people. Maybe the advisors could just be referenced or something. Parliamentarians. I don't know if they have things like that. And does anybody have a report to you?
Do you think we should go back to our meeting?
agenda, but there are some amendments on there. And they're suggesting the Queen Street Committee does have authority to change their own.
It's the last piece. I mean, I gave a speech, I think, the last time, but, you know, the staff, I mean, Jack's here now, it's 9 o'clock, probably was here 8 this morning, ride your bike over. Yep. And, you know, every time I call, Joel's sitting at his desk, and he's sitting at his, and they're staff, but they're also human beings, and they would like to have some lives. And so, if there's not a need for meetings, maybe people should start looking at the call of the chair or something like that. Or if they don't have anything, you know, because people have to schedule their time. They can't go to a call. They can't go to a meeting. So I'd really appreciate, you know, getting that word out. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say motion carries.